Church, you've got to own it. Everyone say own it. Everyone say own it. Turn to the person beside you and say, own it. All right, turn to the favorite person or the non-favorite person on the other side and say, own it. All right, turn to the person that you want to take out for lunch and say, you could own this. Well, not own. But anyway, post-summit, this is what I know. There are rivers to cross, mountains to climb, and promises to be possessed. All right, I'm going to say it again. This time, allow it to come into your heart. This is what I know, post-summit. There are rivers to cross, mountains to climb, and promises to be possessed. If you believe it, say amen. But this is also what I know. For us to be the people who cross the rivers, climb the mountains, and possess the promises of God, the promises that God has for our lives, we'll need to own where we're at, because we'll never live the life we desire until we do. So many of us are wanting what's out there. Friends, you can't have what's out there until you own what you've got. You can't possess what you're dreaming for until you own what you've got. You've got to own what you've got to launch out into what God has got for you. You'll never possess your future until you own your now. That's just the way it is. Church, you can't cross over to the other side until you own this side. You can't scale that mountain until you own your valley. You can't possess the promise until you own your wilderness. Now, this word today, it is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the immature. It is for the mature in the Lord. Do we have any mature or maturing in the Lord in the house today? I don't know about you. I want to mature. Georgie goes, I wish you would. I want to mature. I've told you before, my mum used to say to me, Shane, when are you going to grow up? And I'd say, Mum, I'm only four. And she'd say, grow up. Anyway, moving right along. I might need to get older, but I don't necessarily want to grow up. I want to stay young at heart. I want to keep my childlike faith. I want to stay enthusiastic for the things of God. Church, you can't cross over until you own where you're at. Exodus chapter 5, reading from verse 1, says, after this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went to see Pharaoh. They told him, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people, let my people, let my people go, for they must go out into the wilderness. They've got to go out into the wilderness to hold a religious festival in my honor. And Pharaoh says, well, is that so? Whatever. How many of you know he does not care about the word of the Lord? He doesn't care what God is saying to you. He doesn't care what's happening in your life. He does not care. He's only concerned about himself. He's only concerned about his. He's only concerned about what you will do for him. And so he says, is that so? Retorted Pharaoh. And who is the Lord that I should listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. I know many of you have had moments in your life where you're like, this is a day. I'm getting ready to step into my destiny. And it's like, as you step, you feel like you're being pulled back. You feel like you're being pulled back. With everything within you, you're trying to step forward. But it's like, there's something that's got a hold on me. I feel like there's a claw over my shoulder and it just won't let me go. I feel like I want to lay hold of God and everything that God's got for me. But there's this pulling back. This Pharaoh, the spirit of Pharaoh, I will not let Israel go. Not going to happen. But Aaron and Moses persisted. What did they do? Persisted. They persisted. You've got to be persistent. Don't give up. Don't shrink back. You've got to persist. Why? The Israelites, these two guys, Moses and Aaron, they persisted, but maybe not for the reason you think. They persisted. The God of the Hebrews has met with us, they declared. Let us take a three-day trip into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. How many of you know you were born to worship? You were born to sacrifice. And if you don't, and if you won't, this is what the Israelites are saying to Pharaoh. If we don't, we will surely die by disease or the sword. Are you hearing this? The Israelites aren't saying, if you don't let us go, you're going to die. But the Israelites are saying, if you do not let us go, we are going to die. Because we were born for worship. We were born for sacrifice. We were born to bring an offering to our God. We were born, we will go into the wilderness, but we will come through the wilderness because we're worshipers. Friends, I tell you the truth, God is still looking for worshipers. Who do you think you are? Pharaoh shouted. What did he do? He shouted. How many of you know he's an intimidator? That's what he does. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to get in your face, say it ain't ever going to happen. You're never going out of here. You're never going to leave this place. I've got you in bondage. I've got you in captivity. I've got you beat down. I've got you beat up, and you're never going anywhere. How many of you know that's what he does? He turns up. He screams at us. He yells at us. He swears at us. He blasphemes. You ain't ever going anywhere. Who do you think you are, Pharaoh shouted, distracting the people from their task? Get back to work. Look, there are many people here in Egypt, and you are stopping them from doing their work. Now, if you know the story, you know what happens next. Now, Pharaoh not only doesn't let Israel go, but he begins to tighten up the screws. How many of you ever felt like you're in a place and it's like, man, I'm already in a hard place and I'm believing for more, but it's like the screws are getting tightened on me and I'm losing my breath, I'm losing my vision, I'm losing perspective. It's like, this is what Pharaoh does. This is what the spirit of Pharaoh does. The spirit of world does. We get a word in God. We get a word in season. We're ready to get up and about and lay hold of everything God's got for us. And the screws begin to get tightened. And so Pharaoh loads up their workload. He comes out harder and more brutal than he's ever been. Because Pharaoh wasn't just a man, but Pharaoh was a puppet. Did you say puppet? Yeah, I said puppet. He was a puppet. Some of you are like, I've met some Muppets. I've met some Muppets too, I can promise you. How many of you know some Muppets? Are there any enjoyers in the house? You're quiet in the house today. You really are. How many of you have ever met some Muppets in your life? You've met some Muppets. I've met some Muppets. I've met some puppets. We know some puppets. You say puppets? Absolutely. Puppets for the purposes of the powers of darkness that want to keep God's people in captivity. The same powers of darkness that you and I continue to fight against today. You say, we got to fight the same. Yeah, it's the same spirit. It's the same powers. It's the same authorities. It's the same darkness. We're fighting against the same. Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood. Hear that. You're not fighting against your mother-in-law. You're not fighting against your boss. You're not fighting against those people in the workplace, but you're fighting principalities and powers of darkness, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. You are fighting against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world. You are fighting against the wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. And just what are these evil spirits, mighty powers, and wicked spirits fighting for? As strange as it may sound, you know what they're fighting for? They're fighting for you and for yours. Now you might say, don't you mean against? No, they're fighting for you and yours. They don't want to let you go. They want to keep you here. Beat down. Broken down. Smashed down. They want to keep you in this place of captivity. Where you're not free, where you're not free to dream, where you're not free to think, where you can't see beyond the here and now. I'm never going to escape this prison. I'm never going to get out of this pen. I'm never going to break free. That's why the enemy is fighting for you and yours. He's fighting to keep you there, to break you down in there. But how many of you know we serve a Jesus? We serve a God. We serve a King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has fought for your life and fought for your freedom, and he's wearing the victor's crown because he won. He's got the victory. We walk in the victory. He purchased victory. We celebrate the victory. We're not going to stay in prison for the rest of our life because our King, he rules. Our King, he reigns. Our King has already won. The prison doors are no longer even hanging. They're not swinging. They can't be locked up because they're not even hanging. So the enemy and his hordes are fighting to keep you and yours in captivity. Jesus fought the fight to release you from that captivity. Now, who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the lies of the enemy? Or are we going to believe the word of God? Are we going to believe that? How many of you know that sound? No, it's not South American. No. How many of you know that sound? It's like, he gets in your ear. How many of you know? It's like that sounds like my wife. It's not your wife. Be quiet. It sounds like my husband. It sounds like my in-laws, my outlaws, my other-laws. No. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers of darkness. We fight against the puppets and we fight against the Muppets. I tell you the truth. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We need to understand. I am submitted. I'm a child of God. I'm submitted to the Word of God. The Word of God has authority in my life. This place does not have authority in my life. This place cannot keep us. It can't keep us. It can't keep us. Friends, to tell you the truth, Jesus went to the cross and paid the full price so that you can cross the Jordans. Some of you are looking at us like, I don't know how. You don't need to know how. You know it's done. It's done. I'm gonna step and it's going to dry up. Some of you are like, I don't know how I can climb this mountain. Friends, just start. Just start walking by faith. Walking by faith. I'm walking by faith. I'm walking. Some of you are like, I'm believing for the promises of God. Friends, the promises of yours in Christ. But you'll never live this life of blessing and promise until you own it. You gotta own it. Some of us wanna move on. It's like, no, you can't move on until you own it. But I really want a good life. You gotta own your bad life. You really want a blessed marriage. You really gotta love your average marriage. You know, so I'm really believing for my finances to turn around. Well, own your finances here. Own your marriage here. Own your family. It may not be what you want it to be, but if you don't love where you're at and own where you're at, you'll never be able to move on into what God's got for you. You got to own it. Everyone say, own it. Everyone say, own it. You got to own it. Until you own what you have, you can't own what you want. Hear that? Until you own what you have, you can't own what you want. We stand here. I want that. I want that. I really want that. She's cute. Baby. I want that. Well, you can't have that till you own this. You got to own where you're at. Otherwise, you're not going to move on. So your life is a mess. My life was a mess too. Your marriage is upside down. Your family is a zoo. Sounded like a rooster. It was a rooster. Andrea said, what was that? It was a rooster. Where did you grow up? Every Filipino would know what that was. Auntie Barbara. Anyway, moving right along. Your family is a zoo. Sometimes ours is a zoo. That's the truth. Your finances have Titanic. What else do you want to talk about? What else in life is near and dear to your heart that's like, man, this thing ain't what I want it to be? You got to own it. Everyone say, own it. Until you own it, you'll never experience the life to the full. What did Jesus say? You'll have life to the full. Is that what he said? The thief comes to what? Rob, kill, and destroy. Going to drag me over here. Well, I got to own it. This is where my life is at, but I'm believing I'm going to come over there because that's what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells me clearly. Jesus said clearly, you shall know life and you shall know it to the full. Press down, shake, running over. Press down, bubbling up like a bubbler. Like a bubbler. How many of you have got like a bubbler in your translation? I just made it up. Like a bubbler. Moving right along. Some of you are like, you're too happy today. I know I'm happy today. How many of you are happy today? You know why I'm happy today? In both services, I've seen people say, I'm leaving this place behind me. I'm making a decision today. I'm not staying in captivity any longer, but I'm walking into the promised land. I'm going to leave Egypt behind. I'm leaving Egypt behind and I'm walking into the promised land. You got to own it. Everyone say, own it. Own it. Until you own it, you'll never experience life to the full. You'll never experience the good thing of a godly marriage, the blessing of great children, godly children, or the provision of heaven. But only when you own it can you then confront powers and the thought life that has held you in captivity. Now, I say the powers and the thought life. I actually think, you know, I'm gonna maybe upset some people. Please write all letters of complaint to Aaron Forward at the front desk. And when you get them, don't pass them on to me, all right? Because I'm just trying to help. Here's the thing. Some of you are still in captivity, not because of all the powers of hell, but because you've continued to partake of a bad thought life. You just continue to partake. See, many people are in prison, and the Lord imprisons them. So the enemy imprisons them by just dropping some bad seed in there, and that seed begins to get into their head, and then it's like, you're gone. How many of you, tell me the truth, how many of you have been just going through life and all of a sudden you start thinking about something and then you lose your peace? And then you're getting anxious. And then you're having that discussion. Well, I'm going to tell them and they're going to tell them. And I'm going to say this to them. I'm going to say then to them. And then it's like, you know what I mean? Like a magpie supporter. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, where's my mum? Is she here? God bless you, mum. All right. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, you've lost your peace. You've lost your joy. What actually happened? Nothing. You just had a thought. And now you're in captivity. Nothing actually happened. You're fearing what may happen. You're distraught over what could happen. You're thinking the worst, friend. That's what the enemy does. He drops bad seed into your head, and then we end up working for him. We become like his slave driver. We're actually beating ourselves. We're whipping ourselves. We're taking ourselves to places we should never go. It's not what God wants for you. And so the enemy just comes along. He sows the seed and he goes, wow, they're doing fine. I'll see you in 6 months. He just comes back, make sure you haven't broken out. Make sure you're living within the pen, and that's where you stay. Yeah, marriage is average. Kids are average. Family's average. It's all average. How many of you know what I'm talking about? As in, how many of you know? All right. Think about this. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Here we go. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. How many of you know if you think to yourself, my life sucks? How many of you know sucks is a Greek word? It means not good. All right. Some of you know that. Originally, it was a Hebrew word. Sucketh. Thinketh, sucketh. So a man thinketh, so it sucketh. That's what it is. How many of you have got any idea what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, Shane, what? Weird? What? It's okay. This is how it works, though. How many of you know if you think to yourself, my life sucks, the chances are your life's going to suck? Oh, man, my life sucks. Look at my life. Look at my life. I suck. I suck. My dog sucks. My job sucks. My girlfriend sucks. We suck together. We're bad. It's all bad. How many of you know you keep saying that to yourself? You'll be right. You will suck. Your dog will suck. Your girlfriend will suck. Your whole life will suck. Why? Because you are speaking it into being. It's your thought. It's not God's thought. Why do you submit when the enemy just drops bad seed in there? You got to pluck that bad seed out and throw it away. Throw it away. All right. So for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Meaning all the enemy needs to do is sow bad seed in your thinking, and it will keep you on the wrong side of the Jordan, down in the valley of death, living short of the promises of God. All right. 400 years. All right, the Israelites now, generation after generation, they've grown up in captivity. All they know is captivity. They can't see beyond the walls. They can't see beyond the horizon. They can't see a better future. They can't see God doing anything. It's like, but don't go making excuses and like, well, it's all right. I got job security here. I get to work 16 hours a day. I got mud. I got clay. I got straw. Well, you had straw, but those guys just lost it for you. You know what I'm saying? You know the story. You know what I'm saying? Now you got to go get your own straw. Who do you think you are breaking out? Now go get your own straw. We're not even going to give you straw. But it's not really that bad. Like, we're all in here together, and, well, this is my lot in life. Isn't it true? That's where we get to. You, if you get beat up for a little while, in the end, you're not going to lift your head up. You get beat up enough, you're going to think, well, I'm just going to surrender here. I'm going to submit to here. If this is my lot, then this is my lot. I'm just going to take it on the chin. I'm just going to stay here. Oh, in fact, why don't we turn on the radio? Who's that? That must be Doris Day on the radio. K-sera, sera. Doris, be quiet now. Whatever will be, will be. How many of you know Doris's voice has gone deep? All right. How many of you know K-sera, sera? How many of you know what K-sera, sera means? Whatever will be, will be. And we sing it. We join in the chorus. Join in the chorus. Let's sing it one and all. K-sera, shut up! It ain't meant to be this way. You weren't born to live in a prison, to live in captivity. This is not your lot in life. But after 400 years, you're going to say, well, if this is it, this is it. But then along comes Moses, and he's a different thinker. Because he didn't grow up in captivity. He grew up in a castle. He didn't grow up as a prisoner. He grew up as a prince. He doesn't think like someone who has been held in captivity. He's not thinking, well, this is my lot in life. He's thinking, man, what can we do now? I got life and I've got it to the full. I'm going to go to the nations of the world. I'm going to reach for the stars. I'm going to reach for the moon. I'm going to dream dreams. I'm going to dream the impossible dream. I'm going to dream for my wife. I'm going to dream for my children. I'm going to dream for my family. I'm going to dream for Osaka. I'm going to dream for Grand Junction. I'm going to dream. Sit down. I'm going to dream. Some of you need to begin to dream again. You weren't meant to live in the captivity, in the cave, in the cell, in the prison, beat down. That is not your lot in life. You're born again for greater things. Now here we have Moses. He comes in. He didn't grow up in captivity. He grew up in a castle. He didn't grow up in prison. He grew up a prince. So he's a redemptive thinker, who's received a redemptive word at the burning bush. How many of you know you have a redemptive word? His name is Jesus. You have a redemptive word. You open the living word, there's a word for you. There's a word for your life. There's a word for your marriage. There's a word for your children. There's a word for your business. There's a word for your dreams. There's a word for. There is a word for everything that is near and dear to you in your life. It's all in there. Now you have a redemptive word. Now you've got to take that word to yourself and begin to think differently in accordance with the word of God. This is what Moses did. He's like, he comes in and is like, no. He's a redemptive thinker because he's grown up thinking big. And he's got a redemptive word which has come from the burning bush, which is our word of God. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Because some of you, it's time for some of you now to rise up and break out. Everyone say, I'm going to rise up. Yell it out, I'm going to rise up. You got to break out. You know, I have never watched one episode of Prison Break. But I love the name of that show. Because I'm going to break out. Some of you need to break out. Break out. So I'm not going to, no. I'm not going to stay in captivity for another day. So we come before the Lord. We come before the Muppets and the Puppets. And we declare, let my people go. Then the voice says, I won't let you go. You know I'm telling the truth. You're in here in this atmosphere of faith. I'm leaving. I'm leaving this place of captivity behind me. And it's like, But by the time you get to the car, you've got this voice saying, I'm never letting you go. I'm never going to let you go. I'm never going to let you go. I'm going to hold you. I'm not letting you go. We need to make it clear. We're going to go or we're going to die. Because I wasn't born to live here. I was not born to live here. We need to begin to declare, I will not stay in this place. I will die in this place. I was not born for this place. I was born to live a life in Christ. I was born to live life to the full. I was born to have a happy marriage and a happy family and healthy finances and a healthy life. I wasn't born for that. Here's a good thing. When you begin to declare that, are you ready for this? It's going to get worse. You're like, for real? Yeah, for real. You turn the heat up, the enemy is going to come after you. You reckon it's been hard, he says, that voice. Now it's getting harder. You made a decision. How many of you, when you've begun to honor the Lord with your tithing, went into drought? It happens every time. Every time we see an act of faith. Every time we see walk of faith. It's like whatever we step out with, the enemy says, I'm going to make it harder on you. You want to leave this place? You reckon it's been hard here making bricks out of clay and straw? Well, I'm going to take away the straw and you're going to have to go get your own straw now. We're going to make it harder on you. The enemy's like, I'm going to make it harder on you. The thing is, he doesn't realize who he's taking on. And it's like, so the Lord says, I don't know the Lord. I don't know who you're talking about. I got no idea who you're talking about. I don't care about your Lord. You're not going anywhere. And then the Lord says, you come over here. I'm going to spank you bad. I'm going to give it to you. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to make a spectacle out of you. He's going to humiliate you before your enemies. Your time is coming. And we know his time came. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price so we can walk free. Yeah, things may get tough, but I got to tell you, if you'll own it, you're on your way out. If you deny it, so many people live in denial. How's life? Oh, it's awesome. No, it's not. You live in denial. I'm not talking about the Egyptians beside the Nile. I'm talking about you live, you know, down in that filthy river. I'm not talking about that river. I'm talking about you weren't meant to live here. But you can't move on until you own it. Yeah, my marriage ain't what I wanted to be, Pastor Shane. My finances aren't what I want them to be. My life isn't where I want it to be at. Good. Own it. It's your first step to moving forward. You'll never arrive in the promised land until you know where you're at. This is where I'm at. And it ain't good. But you know what? The Lord's with me. And the Lord's stirring me. I'm going to rise up in faith. I'm going for it. No devil will hold me here. No muppet, no puppet will hold me here. No power of darkness. No. I'm moving on. How many of you are moving on? This is where we are. This is where I'm at. But my Jesus, my deliverer, my redeemer who lives, paid the price. Now the prison doors are open. And I'm moving on. I'm not going to stay in captivity. I'm not going to be bound by cultural thinking. Cultural thinking. Can I encourage you, my friends, and I love you all, over 100 nationalities in this location. I celebrate all the wonderful cultures that have come from all the nationalities. But we are a single culture church, and that's a culture of the kingdom of God. And your life will prosper when you put God above your culture. Put the culture of the kingdom, put the word of God first. Word of God first. You'll be able to keep all the best stuff of your cultures. But there might be some other stuff you need to let go. It will keep you in captivity. Sometimes I'll look at the way my family has done things over the years. It will keep me in captivity if I practice it. I need to go to the Word. I need to have my mind renewed. I need a redemptive thought life. I need a redemptive Word, and I need to get ready to move forward. I'm believing that I'm moving on. I'm believing that you're all moving on. This is like jailbreak, as in, I never listened to Akadaka, but they sing a song called Jailbreak. And, you know, there's a time where you've got to break out, where you've got to say, I'm not going by myself. We're all running through this thing together. Try and stop us, devil. You can't stop us. No muppet can stop us. No puppet can stop us. No devil can stop us. We're all breaking out. We're going to drag each other from the captivity. We're going to drag each other all the way into the promises of God. We're going to drag each other over the Jordans. We're going to drag each other up the mountain. If you believe it, give God praise. Everyone say, own it. Say, I own it. And I'm moving on. We're moving on. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Bless your people. Bless them now. Bless them always. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have paid the price that we might escape captivity. We were not born to live in captivity. We were born to live in your presence. We're born to live in your joy. We're born to live in your goodness. So this day and every day, we choose, we decide, we're not staying here any longer, but we're moving on into every good thing you've got for us. If you're here today and you're saying, Shane, I want to move on. I want to move on from this place of captivity. I want to bring my mind into the Word of God. I want the Word of God to come into my mind. I want a beautiful exchange to begin to happen here. I want to begin to think redemptively. I want to begin to think redemptively. I know it's the redeeming Word of God that's going to change my life. So I want to begin to think that way. I want to bring my life out. I want to bring my spouse out. I want to bring my children out. I want to bring everything out that is near and dear to me. If that's you today, just raise both hands towards heaven. Just raise both hands towards God right now. now. Father, I pray for every brother and sister that has their hands raised to you. Lord, I pray and I ask in Jesus' name, do a mighty work in their life. Redeem their thinking, Lord God. You are our Redeemer. You are our redeeming word. And now we receive you, Lord God, into our thought life. We're going to think upon the promises of God. We're going to think upon things above, Lord God. Lord, we won't be contained, Lord God. Lord, like the Israelites were, Lord God, to a lower place, to a place of captivity and prisoner, Lord God. We're moving on from that. We're going to lay hold of you. We're going to lay hold of your word. Lord, this is our year. We're coming out into freedom. We're crossing over, Lord. We're going higher. We're accessing the promises of God. If you believe it, church, why don't you give God a mighty shout of praise now? Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Let's give it up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless you all.